chapter number one, please, King James Bible. I want to thank God for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Pastor Gravely. It's always a blessing to be around you and Sister Nolita, children and the grandchildren. Dear friends, I love the man of God dearly. Amen. If you ain't got nothing good to say about your pastor and you got something bad to say, don't be foolish enough to say it to me, okay? Because I'm one of them kind of guys, you know, I don't care, amen. Maybe it is because I do care. But I'm excited about y'all getting a flagpole. And I'd like to make a donation. Nope. I've got a flag I can't fly at my home. Somebody give me one of them Trump flags. Oh, you won't take this one, amen. I've been meaning it's got some... Yeah, amen. Some of y'all ought to be laughing right now. I wholeheartedly agree with everything it says, but I just wouldn't have said it that way. Amen. Y'all either need to laugh, get right with God, you act like you've been in church for 10 services, and get over it. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the King James Bible. I seen that flag. I couldn't believe I still had it. I thought I told somebody to get rid of it, but I think I'm going to mail it to the Bible Baptist Church, care of Pastor Ricky Gravely. When y'all ain't looking, I need to say this. If somebody does sneak and put one up, it wasn't me, okay? Ruth Chester. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I may let us pick up in Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 19. Again, all joking aside, it's great to be here. And I want to take it for granted this morning that you've heard the book of Ruth enough that you know the context, right? So the Bible said in verse 19, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt with me very bitterly. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Fathers, we bow in your presence. Thank you for this place, these people. I want to thank you for the privilege to stand once again in this place with these precious people and your precious pastor. Thank you for friends in the ministry, Lord, that we can have fun with, get serious with, pray with, shout with, worship with. Lord, I want to thank you for those that you put in my life down through the years to hold my hands up. Lord, the times you've allowed me to return the favor. So I bless you and praise you for that. I pray you bless us in this hour. Help your church, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You know the story of the book of Ruth. Ruth is written in the days when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If you believe the Bible and you believe God's way is the way to go, then God's word will be what's right in your own eye. Yeah. Sad to say, that ain't the case with most folks. So a man by the name of Elimelech got his wife Naomi and his two boys Mahlon and Chilion and moved out to Moab during the time of a famine. The famine was there, amen, because of the sins of the nation of Israel. And God has judged them. And this man makes one of the greatest mistakes you could have ever made. He took his family to Moab. Don't go to Moab. The man died. The boys died. Naomi, that woman that a lot of writers would refer to as the prodigal daughter, stand there left with her two daughter-in-laws. She's heard that God visited his people. She's made her mind up. She's going back home. And she tries to convince her daughter-in-laws to stay. Orpha had her mind made up, she was going, but Naomi talked her out of it. She might as well have told her to go on and die without God and go to hell. She told her to go back to her gods and to her people. But Ruth done got a hold of something, she wasn't turning loose. She wasn't giving up. She wasn't giving in. Naomi wasn't going to talk her into staying. Now, you should be happy to know this morning that I'm only going to preach on one word in this text. They have made their mind up. They're going back. And the Bible said in verse number 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. I'm interested in that one little word, until. This word until is found 9 times in the book of Ruth. This word until gives us this ideal, this thought, this teaching of they didn't quit. They went until they got there. And I thought about, you ought to pray until God answers your prayers. You ought to preach until God moves in the congregation. And I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say, but we need some more until people. And we need some people that ain't going to quit, that ain't going to give up, that ain't going to throw in the towel. We need some people that'll say, I'm going until God calls me home. I'm going to do it until. Well, I guess if I had a title, it would be until then. Amen. Or until. And that's what we need. This path that they are on to go to Bethlehem for Naomi is a path of a revival, a path of restoration. This path for Ruth is a path of redemption. Three simple little thoughts on this one word, until. They didn't stray. They didn't turn to the left, turn to the right. They just went until they came to Bethlehem. That's where they needed to be. And we've not yet arrived, have we? No. Amen. There's some that are lagging behind. There are some that are in Moab spiritually. And you need to get this word until burned in your heart. Some of you young folk, you got problems. And I've named them last night. We can name again this morning. Amen. You need to pray and seek God and cleanse yourself in the Word of God until you got victory over what it is that's holding you back for the glory of God. And brother, until now, we've got to find out what they are traveling on. They're traveling, first of all, this morning, solely on a word from God. Now, I don't know if I could have handled it back in those days. I really don't. With my personality and the way I am, it would have scared me half to death if an angel would have ever showed up, or a seraphim would have ever showed up, or a cherubim would have ever showed up, or if Jesus would have ever showed up. I'd have looked over and he's sitting right beside me. Amen. I'd have probably just say, hey, Lord, you might as well take me home with you, as I ain't going to make it no further. Amen. I'd have got shook out of my nerves. But God didn't send an angel. And God, my beloved friend, didn't send nothing else. Amen. You know what he sent? He sent a word. Amen. And that's all we've got today, is a word from heaven. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, by the word of God. And our faith ain't in our goose pimples. It ain't in our hair standing up. We have placed our faith in this old black back King James Bible, in the word of God. What makes you think you're saved? It ain't thinking it. It's knowing it. The Bible says so. And we believe the word of God. This word involved a visit. Amen. She had heard in chapter 1, verse 6, how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. This word involved a visit. God had done showed up. He didn't show up in Moab, but he showed up in Bethlehem. But God sent a word. I like to hear when God's showing up somewhere else. I like to hear, amen, when we have camp meeting in September or Jubilee in March. Amen. I like to hear the reports of the week following, of the revivals breaking out in the churches, of the people that came, of the Sunday services following, where somebody got fired up and went back and God met with them. This word involved a visit. This word involved bread. Naomi had eaten this bread before. She knew what it was, smelled like when it's cooking. Now, you can correct me after the service if you want to, but Brother Grant, the Bible didn't say how that the Lord visited his people and given them grain and giving them wheat. Amen. I'm just a Bible believer. I believe God showed up with some bread. Amen. I seen this when I was preaching in Pennsylvania here a few weeks back. And I seen this and I told that crowd, God didn't show up like the Amish with a horse and a cart and raise the side of the cart open with a big old sign that said bread for sale. Amish bread and Amish peanut butter and Amish relish and all that. Amen. I tell you what, this bread that they got, that was from heaven. It was better than anything mom had ever cooked. It's better than anything your grandma had ever cooked. I'm talking about bread that had wheat in it that had never seen a field. I'm talking about bread that had grain in it that had never seen a field. I'm talking about bread that had never seen an oven. I'm talking about bread that had never been cooked. I'm talking about bread that was spoken into existence by Almighty Sovereign God. And they're traveling on a word that's talking about bread. That's that angel's food. That's that manna, brother. Hey, boy, this business involved bread. This, and boy, and we'll move on. It involved the mercy of God. Now, God didn't send bread to Moab. Absolutely not. But he did send a word. I think I've mentioned that. The Bible said that they were in Moab when they got this word. And God wasn't going to send that bread down there. I think about the times before I got born again, Brother Barnes. Amen. The times we'd be sitting out there and I'm ashamed of everything I was before I got saved. Oh, I remember the times we'd be at a party somewhere. Amen. And I'd be out there in the parking lot going to get the beer and come through the parking lot with a case of beer in your hand. And the local church, the Independent Baptist Church, with the girls wearing their dresses down to their ankles, run up to you and say, I know you. Your name's John. Let me give you a track and tell you about Jesus. And brother, I tell you, get under conviction, run and put it in the truck and drive off. I was at a party one night, and about midnight, I was the only one in this specific place, and I was walking through, and brother, I tell you, the radio announcer on the radio, he said, all right, I know we're a rock and roll radio station. He said, and I don't know why we do this. He said, but once a week, we play a gospel song at midnight on Saturday night. And brother, they got to singing, I'll Fly Away. Brother, I stood at attention. I teared up and I knew I wasn't right. No, God didn't save me that night. But I'll tell you what he did. He gave me a word and reproved me and rebuked me and it drew me to him. Thank God for a word. Even in our sin, God gave us a word. Even when we didn't deserve it or have been in hell, God gave us a word. And God, my beloved friend, told us about the cross and about the blood and about the bread. Oh, until, oh, what are you doing? Well, until my faith ends inside, I'm just going to walk on. Amen, until. It involved the mercy of God. They was in Moab. It involved the grace of God. The Bible said that the Lord visited his people and giving them bread. As a young preacher, I thought I had a good saying about the dispensational truths of salvation. And I said, you know, the Old Testament saints, they kind of had a salvation of mercy. God sent them to paradise and had that gulf in between them and hell, and all it was the mercy of God that kept them from going to hell. And there's some truth into that. Then I said, us New Testament saints, amen, boys, all grace. But I got to looking at my Bible one day, and I seen a verse that said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It don't matter, amen, what dispensation you're from. But neighbor, it's a grace of God. Up one side down the other. Amen. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't pay for it. You can't buy it. You don't get baptized and get saved. It's a grace of God and God's grace alone now. Simply put, God, how did you obtain? I'd like to tell you how I obtained this so great salvation. Would you like to know? Yes, I repented. Yes, I believed. Yes, I was convicted. But at the end of the day, he gave it to me. What you going to do with that, buddy? I mean, this crowd thinks they done worked their way in, paid their way in. Hey, man, what you going? He gave it to me. I mean, he simply gave it to me. Like that old thief on the cross, somebody asked him, how in the world did you get here? He said, well, all I know is he gave me a free pass to paradise. Hey, man, I ain't been to Bible college, ain't never been to church. All I know is I met him at the right place and at the right time. How did you get it? Hey, man, I ain't smart enough to think of it. I ain't rich enough to buy it. I'll tell you what I was lost enough that I'll hold my hand out, open my heart up, and let God give it. I need every born again believer in the building. I need you to make me a promise. Will you do it? Would you just raise your hand and say, Brother John, I'm going to make you a promise. It's scriptural. It ain't out of the question. I need you to make me a promise. Oh, only one of you's got enough. All right. Well, after I asked you to do it, then I want you to promise me, okay? How many of you's promised me 1 million years from now to come to me on the streets of glory and ask me one more time, how'd you get it? My answer's going to be the same then as it is right now. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. If you can't, hey man, it's a grace of God, neighbor. It's a gift of God. It's God that done it. I get sick of this crowd that tried to come up some other way. They ain't not but a bunch of thieves and robbers, but Jesus, my beloved friend, he'll give it to you. That's too simple for these high-powered doctors. That's too simple for these polished-up theologians. That's too simple. Well, if it wasn't for the simple message of the grace of God, we'd be in hell. Amen. Oh, boy, this word involved grace. Oh, this word exposed her emptiness. Oh, but then we would see these ladies' will, especially Ruth's will. Amen. Until then, they're going to get there on a word. We just heard. We didn't see. We didn't taste. We didn't smell. We just heard that there's bread in heaven and God showed up, and that's why I'm here. I've never laid eyes on him. I've never seen heaven with my eyes. I've never seen the street of gold or the walls of jasper or the gates of pearl. But by faith, thank God. Amen. How precious is that faith? I'm glad it's not a figment of our imagination. I'm glad it ain't somebody like Joseph Smith dreamed up. But there is a real heaven, and there is a real God. And by faith. Well, then we like to study their will. Now, you can compare, and we won't flip back and forth between Ruth and Naomi too much, but Ruth especially, I would like to look at her will. Somebody said, when she gets saved. Well, I guess that could be debatable. But when she's telling Naomi and treatment not to leave thee and to return from father, sound like a good place to nail it down right there to me. Amen. Because as soon as she said that, buddy, she's heading in the right direction. Amen. And I tell you, when God saves somebody, you ain't going to go back home in the same shape you was in. I've seen it happen too many times. Amen. I wasn't there. There's a particular young lady that got Holy Ghost born again recent that I know of. And she got something her mama ain't got. She got something her sister ain't got. She got something her daddy ain't got. And they're sitting there scratching their heads. And brother, I'll tell you what it is. She got born again. Amen. He'll change you. But now we see her will. Now some of you girls are going to like his first point. Her will has been submitted. God, she got stubborn. Oh, you like your hands on your hips, tell your daddy what to do and tell your husband what to do. And this is my, no, that ain't the kind of stubborn I'm talking about. Amen. Say amen back yonder. I'm talking about not getting stubborn toward God, but getting stubborn toward Moab and said, you know what? You raised me. You lied to me. You deceived me. You just about sent me to hell with your false gods. I'm leaving. And when Ruth turned her back on that old world, she had made up her mind. I ain't a coming back. I ain't a going back. I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. But never, we've already come too far to turn back again. Isn't it wonderful to know that Moab ain't our home anymore? That Moab ain't running our lives anymore? You're stubborn toward that world. Amen. This world ain't, it don't dictate our lives. It don't dictate how we live. We ain't running out of the world. The world's a pile of trash. You just well say amen right there. She got stubborn toward the world, but then she got a little bit stubborn toward Naomi. Naomi trying to tell her stations, I ain't doing it. Kind of like Elisha and Elijah. Elisha trying, Brother Sam, putting Elisha off. You just stay here. No, I'm going with you. That comes time when it's right to get stubborn toward somebody. And right here, Naomi and Ruth, it's time. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to go back there. And your God's going to be my God's. And where you die, I'm going to die. Amen. And I die. You done been talking about that bread. I ain't never had nothing like that. Amen. And by the way, you want to know why this story gets my heart? It's because the night I got born again, the only reason I went is because the women was cooking and I'd done eat their food before. Amen to God. But when I walked up in that place, they preached against everything I'd ever done. I said, you bunch of rednecks are going to hell. You bunch of no preacher's going to hell. That's why you ought to preach against sin. It's soft soaping, lily leopard, amen, noodle back gospel. And some of these deadheads is preaching in our day. Ain't going to save nobody. But preaching against sin will bring conviction. Amen. Amen. I made my mind up this morning. My wife got me a brand new shirt. I said, I'm going to wear it both services. I ain't going to sweat it all. Hey, God done helped me out this morning. I'm going to have to change after church. Praise the Lord. Say amen. It's worth breaking a sweat over. And you ought to be ashamed if the preacher is the only one sweating in church. Amen. That's right. Don't get me amen to myself. We won't beat the Methodists to the steakhouse. We'll submissive. Submissive to Bethlehem. Submissive to the leadership of Naomi when she does decide to lead her. Submissive to God. Submissive. Somebody asked me, I claim no originality. I think it was Guy King, one of our favorite writers. He said it like this, best I ever heard it. And I'm going to take what he said and add what I got, and it'll come out. Okay, so just leave me alone. And it's the two wills coming together until the will of a sinner and the will of the Savior comes together. It ain't never going to happen. I asked my wife to marry me. She said yes. I got on both knees when I asked her, girls, both of them, because I knew I was going to be on both of them the rest of my life, and I might as well start out right. So y'all looking at me, yeah, you'd have done said amen right there, but your wife would have elbowed your ribs back up in your heart. Woo! Can I get an amen? And we still wasn't married yet. And brother, I tell you, brother, we had that. Then she had the ring on her finger. We still wasn't married yet. Come up to rehearsal time, and she come in. We done all that. I said, I will. We still wasn't married yet. It's just a rehearsal. Amen, boy. They come time for that wedding on Saturday. Amen. Probably would have done it on Friday if I had to do that, but over again. Amen. Somebody just say amen right there. Happen in a house. And hey, she opened, come back through that back door in a white dress, rightly so. Yeah. Still wasn't married.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
her daddy come down there and he went through that big old spill he went through. Who gives this woman to take? He said, her mom and I do if he promises to take care of her and work hard and all this bunch of mess. And I'm sitting there like, all right, I'll take care of her. Be quiet and sit down. Let me marry your daughter. I didn't say it out loud. I can now, but I didn't then. Whatever daddy wanted. But when we was married, I see you later, daddy. She mine now. Ain't that right? Hard to do when your daddy's your pastor. Can I get an amen right there? And she still wasn't married yet. And beloved, that preacher looked at me and said, now John, do you take this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife? And went to sickness and had better for worse. I said, I will. And brother, still wasn't married yet. And brother, amen. And he looked at her and said, do you take him? Sickness and health are better for worse and all that. And she said, I will. Amen, right then and there. It wasn't when I kissed the bride. It wasn't on the honeymoon night. It was right then and there when them two wills came together. It's when we got married. Amen. And brother, before the foundation of the world, I wonder if God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, as the created man, amen, I wonder if the Holy Ghost looked over at the Father and said, you know what he's going to do? And the Father said, yeah, he's going to plunge a whole human race into sin. And Jesus about that time stepped forward and said, I will. I'll take care of them. And brother, when Christ died on the cross, you know what he said? He said, I will. And that night when the Holy Ghost came to where I was, you know what he said? He said, I will. And when I knelt, and by my actions, I said, I will. Them two wills came together, and here we are, saved by the grace of God. I told old guy King, I know he'd been in heaven for a while. I was talking to the book. I said, that's pretty good, brother guy. Keep it up, buddy. Some two wheels coming together. Hey, amen. Some of y'all should have done run out of here. I was preaching up in Fallen Waters, West Virginia, several years ago. Had an old gal up in there. She couldn't get it, buddy. I mean, shit, I'm lost, Brother John, pray for her. And I'm like, my goodness, as simple as this, you're in your 40s or whatever, and you're lost, going to hell, you're going to a good trial, I just can't get it. And brother, when she seen, he had already said, I will. When she seen it, he had already made the first move. Hey, my boy, you better thank God for that, because if it had been left up to us, we'd be burning in hell right now. Hey, remember when we was in our sins, and nobody else wanted us, and nobody else had loved us, and nobody else could save us. He came walking on the waters of the stormy seas of our life, and he saved us by the grace of God. He said, it is finished. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, glory to God, that God would sit this side and die for me and you. Hey, that submissive will. It's that submissive will. Amen. I didn't hurriedly. Let's study the walk and we'll try to be done. They're walking on the word. Their wills are submitted. And then I'm going to read this to you and we're going to move on. Their walk. What kind of walk was it? Well, it was in the right direction. He ain't heading in the wrong direction. She's walking away from God in chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. They're walking toward God in chapter 1, verse 19. But they're walking with God in chapter 2, 3, and 4. Amen. And they walked in unity. How could two walk together except to be agreed? Unified in the direction they were going. It was a walk of agreement. We're going together. Hey, but we're going to Bethlehem. They wasn't one fuss about it. They wasn't one fight about it. Hey, amen. Behold, how good and pleasant it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. I'm so sick of this little petty disagreeing stuff that's going on in our day. We ain't got to nitpick each other. If you don't believe in the gospel, I disagree with you, and rightfully so. You're a heretic and you're going to hell. Amen. But I'm not going to nitpick somebody on stupid, but I ain't going to name them. They walk together in agreement. They walk together. It was a walk of acceptance. Naomi finally accepted Ruth was going with her. It was a walk of anticipation. Oh, Naomi, I think Naomi knew how it's going to be when she got home. She knew God's people. She, amen. She could have made her mind. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Study your Bible for a future reference. Nobody ever called her Mara. They called her Naomi. That old Naomi, that name means pleasantness. And Mara means bitterness. And nobody, even God, didn't honor that request. It was Naomi. And God's helping Naomi. I get that pleasant spirit back. It's a walk of not only unity, it's a walk of fervency. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. They're practicing this verse. It's a walk of consistency. It's a walk of humility. They've humbled themselves. She wasn't walking back and said, hey, I want my house back. I want my land back. I'll just get out of my way. No. She walked as humble as she could. If what you call your salvation experience did not put some humility in you right out of the gate, if I was you, I'd go back and check up and see whether I even got saved or not. Humility is one of the number one characteristics of Christ. We're commanded to be humble like Christ. There's a lot of preaching on humility in the Bible, but you don't hear none of it in our pulpits because men are so full of stinking pride, they ain't going to be a hypocrite and preach on something they ain't practicing. And when they do practice it, it ain't nothing but fake humility. It's a walk of humility. But then, lastly, and I'm done, and I'm going to leave you with this thought. Our pianist, whoever you are, would you come, please? Sister, that's right. Maybe you could play that old song, I've Wandered Far From God, however that song goes. I'm coming home. That'd be a good one. They're welcome. They're welcome. This is it. I'm done. Verse 21, the Bible said, I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Look at this. She said, I went out full. She's focused on what she had when she went out. Then she said, the Lord brought me home again empty. She's focused on what she don't got. But like most Baptists, she's as blind as a bat at what she just said. Could I just quote the middle part of that verse, that phrase she said? The Lord hath brought me home. Forget about what you had. Forget about what you don't got. Forget about what you lost. Just look at that phrase, the Lord. Yeah. The Lord hath brought me home. Hey, man to God. Somebody in here, you've been at a guilty, guilty, guilty distance from God for a long time. Yeah, you come to church every time the doors is open. You're faithful. You love God. You're just far from Him. Maybe there's some of you young people. Hope you don't mind if I get a little personal. I ain't gonna call nobody's name. But I think I know some of you well enough. And if I'm out of place, I'll apologize. There's one or two of you that's got that far-off look in your eye. Can your friendly evangelist friend warn you? Don't go. Am I out of place? Am I okay? You got that far-off look in your eye? Don't go. Stay at home. There ain't no place like home, neighbor. We're standing all over the building.